You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe, New Mexican. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. And it's time for our annual Thanksgiving show, How to Do Thanksgiving Dinner. And in a few minutes, we're going to be going to a conversation with Chef Johnny V. But before we start, I want to let you know about another upcoming holiday episode that you can be part of. We want to hear your stories about what Christmas in New Mexico means to you. What traditions do you carry on? What traditions do you miss as time goes on? Give us a call at 505-395-6398 and leave a voicemail and tell us your stories. If you prefer, you can also send an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. And now to our Thanksgiving show. Now, this is an annual tradition on the Radio Cafe, and we're just moving it over here to the Santa Fe, New Mexican. We're talking about Thanksgiving dinner, and here to join me to talk about Thanksgiving dinner is Johnny V. He is a chef, he's a cookbook author, a teacher, he's dining editor for the Santa Fean. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy that you're back on the air.
Me too.
Because I was
the
with
digital
you.
Air.
I know, we're so like, oh my God. But I was with you years ago, and I was just kidding you about it was much earlier in the morning. And I'm like, oh, do you want to come on the radio? I'm like, okay, what time do we have to be there, you know?
Well, the great thing about this is you can, if you're up at 8 o'clock, you can listen. But
yeah.
If you're up at 9:30, you can, or any time at all,
yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah.
So it's nice. That's the beauty of podcasting.
So we access it from the New Mexican, basically the homepage, probably.
Yep.
And it's always available.
Well,
or
yeah.
Or it'll be available weekly.
After, I mean, I think after, when the next one comes, the previous one moves down and gets archived, I'm going to be putting everything on radiocafe.org.
Oh, very good.
So that'll be archived permanently.
Yeah, great. Yeah, because then I can tell people in other places you have to listen.
Yes, indeed.
In. It's so fun.
So let's talk about Thanksgiving dinner. And we're recording this so that it will air on Tuesday. And if you were listening to this on Tuesday morning and you haven't gotten your turkey yet,
get out and get your turkey, and don't get the frozen one that will take 3 days to thaw, and it won't be ready on Thursday. I remember probably when I lived in New York, literally putting a turkey in the bathtub and trying to thaw it quickly, because in New York, you have a sink that was this big, big enough for a chicken.
Right.
And so you would have a turkey in the bathtub. I hate to admit as a chef, how many times I roasted the turkey with the bag of giblets in the middle.
Oh, you forgot to take
cavity.
It out, yep. Yes.
And often the giblets are still frozen. So the inside of the turkey is completely uncooked.
And that is a health hazard.
It's a big health hazard.
Yeah.
And then you're like carving off the cooked part and putting it back in the oven. It's
right, that's just nice.
I'm a little more clued in now, but.
So you get your turkey. You don't get a frozen one if you're getting it today. If you already had one, presumably you've started thawing it.
I actually think 3 days in the fridge is a nice natural way to thaw it.
Okay.
3 full days. So, even start on Sunday. Or if it's cool, if it's cold enough, you could even do it in the garage. But you want to keep it safe,
right.
In the fridge. Yeah.
And so then you think about different ways to cook it. Now, the basic way is you get up, and you don't have to get up at 4 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Like our fathers did, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
We used to get it maybe a 24 or 30-pound turkey, but yeah. I think it was part of the tradition. You're like, the good thing about that is the house smells like turkey for 8 hours.
Right.
But I think and remember we used to stuff turkeys. And
we don't anymore?
They've been saying it's better not to. It does slow down the time it takes. And you don't, or what you can do is cook it partially stuffed and then take the stuffing out, put it in a casserole so that the stuffing also gets nice and crispy on top.
Okay.
And then let the turkey finish cooking that way.
Well, back in the old days, known as the early
2000s,
I always just made a stuffing
and
put it in the turkey out of you know, if you're gluten-free, you can use rice or wild rice and dried fruits. And
so
you always put in a little
things.
Bit of rum or some kind of, like, bourbon or whatever's handy and herbs and spices. And
I think probably...
You can cook it that way.
I think the old days of using, like, Mrs. Calabo's dry stuffing that you packed in there so you couldn't get it out.
Right. It was
you'd want to have enough for 20 people. Yeah. Like balsa wood. Yeah. So maybe that was why it didn't get cooked, because it was so stuffed. But no, I like the idea of rice and wild rice and dried fruits and stuff. I also like oysters and stuffing. Like,
how do you make your stuffing?
So I have a couple of recipes. Actually, I just did a turkey class at Las Cosas last week. So I came up with three stuffings. One is actually a green chili leftover sopapilla stuffing.
Wow.
Because, you know, if you're smart, when you go to restaurants that serve endless sopapillas, right before you get the bill, you say, "Could we have another basket of sopapillas?" And then you take home six sopapillas. I don't think sopapillas last so well. They're the next day, they've lost their
texture.
It's
like yesterday's dressed salad or something.
Yeah. But you tear them up and use them in place of bread. So I actually saute zucchini and yellow squash, torn up sopapillas, pine nuts, and frozen or fresh, if you've got it in the freezer, roasted peeled chopped green chili.
Wow.
And then usually add some sort of chicken stock to your stuffing that moistens it. And then this I do in a casserole dish, but it's really good. And I like to use hot chili. So for Thanksgiving this next week, I'm going to one of my best friends and my goddaughter are coming from Dallas with her family, or his family and his wife's family. And we're planning our Thanksgiving, and I'm thinking they're going to want only traditional stuff. And they're like, "No, we want all of the interesting stuff you do." So we'll probably make that stuffing. Another thing that I think benefits turkey flavor is to brine it. We talked about that a little bit.
What does that mean?
So brining, it can be a dry brine, which is sugar and salt just rubbed on meat. But turkeys benefit.
Do you put it on before?
How long put it on before, and you can even do it like overnight.
Okay.
But a wet brine is probably a little more traditional because, when your turkey's thawed and the cavity's open, then that brine gets inside there. So just for example, you make a salt and sugar mixture with water and then put the turkey in there overnight.
And your bathtub?
Or somewhere cold. So ideally,
a
could be in the garage.
A five-gallon
bucket. I think a straight equation would be 8 quarts of water, 2 cups of kosher salt, and 1 cup of sugar.
Okay.
So you dissolve that and then plunge your turkey in there. You can throw in garlic, herbs, other things. But that really moistens the meat. The tricky thing, the reason turkeys and chickens, I think, don't have a lot of flavor is they grow up really fast. Their meat is really white, and it doesn't have any of that nice color that like a farm-raised chicken or free-ranging chicken would have. So this really infuses that flavor. Then the next day, you do take it out of the brine. Always pat your turkey dry, because if it goes into the oven wet, you don't get that crispy skin. And in my recipe that I use, I actually add like 1/4 cup ground New Mexico green chili. Sorry, red chili to the brine. And then it changes the color of the turkey. And it's so beautiful.
Nice.
So, and it has the chili flavor. But, and then, you know, there's a couple ways to do. I think cooking turkey... usually it'll be like, you know, at 350 for 20 minutes per certain numbers of pounds, you know.
20 minutes per
like
pound?
Like per pound, or kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. But I still think if you buy a turkey, read the directions on the package, because some of them, may have, I was just going to say more voluptuous breasts, but if they're, you know, let's be careful what we say now, right? You know, another thing I'm a little wary of Amish turkeys, you know, that's sort of the new trend. And they can dry out because they are not pre-brined even. Like, I think butterball turkeys spend some time with, like, a brine solution on them. But some of the real natural ones, you probably want to brine because...
Amish turkeys literally from Pennsylvania?
Well, I think it's a style, too. Yeah, but some of them were actually originally from Pennsylvania. So, one thing I do love, though, I think Butterball has, like, a hotline you can call. So, like, Thursday morning, you can call Butterball and some woman in Iowa that works... has to work on Thanksgiving.
Oh, my goodness.
Butterball Hotline, can I help you? And you're like, my turkey is still frozen. What should I do? And stuff. So I've never called them, but I think it'd be fun. So
okay, so you take your turkey out of the brine at some reasonable hour in the morning after you've gotten up and had a nice cup of caffeine or whatever and combed your hair and not worried too much about how early it is because it doesn't take that long or how you look.
Yeah.
And so then you've got this brine turkey and you've patted it dry.
Uh-huh.
What do you do next?
I would, now one of my favorite secret tips is to baste your turkey with duck fat.
Mm.
And most, Las Cosas sells duck fat. Most specialty stores would sell duck fat. And that not only gives your turkey the most amazing color, it's going to be like it was shellacked, but it infuses that poultry flavor on it. And you would just do it just like you would with melted butter. If you don't do duck fat, you can use melted butter.
What about bacon?
Bacon would be great, yeah. And some people weave bacon over the turkey.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. Or I think olive oil probably doesn't give you that much flavor, so I would do one of the other natural fats. And then figure out the timing and stuff. One of the big questions for a lot of people is how to carve a turkey. So you do want the turkey to rest once it's done. You know, often people are trying to carve it right out of the oven.
Well, hang on a second. Oh, yeah, before we get to carving, we want to, are you basting it every so and so many minutes?
Yeah, maybe every 30 minutes.
Okay, so you've got your turkey baster, you're basting it every 30 minutes. Do you have a tent over it or anything like that?
Usually if it starts to get too brown too early, you want to tent it.
What do you tent it with?
Foil is good. There's a heavier duty foil.
Right, that's right.
And make sure your turkey is in a rack, in a roasting rack, so it's lifted up, because then the heat is going all the way around the turkey as well.
Okay.
If you put it just on a cookie sheet, you're going to lose that. Plus, you want to capture all those juices. So roasting pans, it's so funny because we all have roasting pans, but the couple of days before Thanksgiving and then again before Christmas, people come flying into Las Cosas like, I need a roasting pan, you know. They're visiting from out of state. They've rented a house, and they're like, we got to do a turkey. Oh, my God, we don't have a roasting pan. So there are a lot of people out there without roasting pans, believe it or not, you know.
Believe
and there's some
it or
good
not.
Ones. Yeah, yeah. And then plan your, you know, when a turkey rests or any meat rests, what happens is the juices tend to seize up, if you will, or become reabsorbed in the meat. If the reason you don't carve meat right away is when you do, the juices run right out of it. So by letting it rest, it sort of cools down a little bit and solidifies in the flesh. So it's nice and moist. Then what I would do is just warm it up when you get ready to serve it, you know.
Oh, okay. Or, I mean, can't you take it out of the oven and let it kind of cool to eating temperature
and eat it right away? Yeah, and 30 minutes is still going to be warm.
Yeah.
But it'll be a lot easier to carve. You're not trying to carve like a screaming hot thing. And, you know, my dad, we had an electric, one of those crazy electric knives.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I have one of those.
Yeah.
I've mostly used it to carve foam rubber, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they work. But the rule of thumb now is to carve first, take off the legs, which are little, you know, the wings. Then take off the legs or the drumsticks, and then carve that breast right off the bone, right at the bone. So you've got the whole breast intact.
And that's a big piece of meat.
That's a big piece of meat. Excuse me. Then you can turn that around and slice it without worrying about hitting the bone. If you try to carve it right while it's still on the carcass, at some stage you're going to hit the bone and then you're going to lose your slices. Then what you can do is turn the leg around, the drumstick, you know, slice that off because the brown meat's great. And I think you'll actually get a better yield from the turkey, you know.
Now, do you pour whatever juices are left straight into a pitcher and serve that as sauce? You know, do you make a gravy?
I usually make a gravy. So what I do, though, is make the gravy in the pan. So sprinkle some flour or even a gluten-free grain into the fat and juices that are in the pan. Do this over the stove so the fats are warm when that happens. Then add chicken stock to the pan and add as much stock as you need to get the gravy to the right consistency, depending on how much flour you put in. Then once it's nice and thick, season it, or not like pudding, but you know, you want it to be like a sauce. Then I strain that so your gravy can be smooth, but you pull out any of the, you know, stuff that's kind of fallen off.
And what do you put in it for flavor?
Actually, salt and pepper in it. You know, usually you might, especially if your stuffing is in there, that helps. But I usually do thyme and sage and stuff, even in the carcass, if I don't stuff it. And then all of that ends up in the broth, because you want it to be, taste like turkey, you know. And usually that, oh my God, turkey gravy is so, you know, so much a part of it. Then what you can do, if you do need to heat it up again, I would put it in a pan. It doesn't have to be in the same roasting pan. Put a little bit of chicken stock over it, cover it with foil, put it in maybe a 200 degree oven, and that'll cook the meat without drying it out and keep it nice and moist. And then when you serve it, it's got the moisture from the stock, and then you can do the sauce on the side.
Now, do you use chicken stock in your gravy just to make more of it? I mean, just are you expanding the quantity?
Yeah, and also you're thinning your flour, whatever you use too.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you're not going to have a lot of liquid. You'll have some nice drippings, as it were. But you want to make 2 cups or 3 cups of sauce, because, or gravy, we call it. Have you ever known a New Mexican that then also serves red chili with their turkey?
In like as a sauce?
As a sauce, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Because some people say, oh, you know, mostly local Santa Fe'ans have told me, we always also had red chili sauce with our turkey.
Yeah.
Because, which I think is cool.
Why not?
Because you do, yeah. Which you would, you know. And then I have Italian friends that have turkey. And then they have like stuffed manicotti or stuffed shells. And mashed potatoes and stuffing and gravy. And
I'll tell you something. Growing up in a Sicilian family.
Oh my God.
On Christmas and Thanksgiving and all of those holidays and Easter. I mean, there were multiple pasta dishes and multiple meat dishes.
I know. Yeah. You might even have
and
ham
lentil
too.
Dishes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I would get past the first course and be full, and there were about 17 left.
Oh my God. Oh,
they would not include dessert.
Yeah. And they would serve pasta as like a first course. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, the pasta fasuli.
Oh,
like,
yeah, with the beans.
With the lentils or the beans.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
I know, really good. And it is crazy to me when you think about all the things we serve with turkey are so heavy and laden with carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Like sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes and stuffing and gravy and green bean casserole. Then we have pecan pie and pumpkin pie. And we're like, oh my God. No wonder there's that tryptophan effect that happens.
Yeah, and sort of caloric coma.
Yeah. And I think eating during the day is probably healthier, because you're not like trying to go to sleep and sitting on that.
Well, if you do all that with a medium-sized turkey, by 2, 3, or 4 in the afternoon, you can have a very nice
dinner. Civilized.
And then you can have, you know, round 2.
At 8 o'clock,
in
you have a turkey
exactly.
sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, if you're doing a party, go easy on even if you want to have an appetizer or, you know, hors d'oeuvres when people arrive, make them light. Don't give them like, you know, stuffed potato skins, and think about that they're going to also then have a huge meal. People probably show up at parties hungry.
Yeah.
Because they know they're going to have turkey. But, you know, keep it light. We are talking about the beverages you serve. I think probably, I'm a Sauvignon Blanc fan, but I think, you know, dry Rieslings, and there's some new ones out there, are good with turkey. Pinot Noir, even though it's a red, goes well with turkey. But remember, your guests may not drink, and if kids are going to be there. But, you know, come up with some fun things.
Yeah, I mean,
cranberry spritzers or
any
that are
kind
non-alcoholic.
Of juice yeah. spritzer, like any kind of bottled juice
and
with
there's
fizzy
some really,
water.
Yeah, there's some interesting flavored waters that would make your guests feel like, gee, they really do, you know, they're not just handing me a Pellegrino and saying.
And those bottles of sparkling apple cider
oh, yeah.
and sparkling
yeah.
other juices are very nice.
Yeah.
We're talking to Chef Johnny V, and we're just going to take a little break right now to tell you about something that's coming up here in the Santa Fe New Mexican. The New Mexican will run profiles of 10 extraordinary people who give of themselves to the community starting on Thanksgiving Day. So you can read about that in the Santa Fe New Mexican, either the paper edition or santafenewmexican.com. The New Mexican is also hosting a special banquet on December 7th to honor this year's extraordinary group of 10. You can visit ticketssantafe.org to order your tickets for the banquet, which is at La Fonda on the plaza. And this is also a great way for local companies to show their support for their community by buying tickets. So ticketssantafe.org. Now back to Johnny V. Now, what about side dishes? I mean, you mentioned mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, green bean casserole is a thing?
Yeah, that's apparently the most repeated recipe in America.
Is that right?
Is green bean casseroles around the holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving. And, of course, we all grew up using Campbell's soup and turkey onions.
So that's like a 1950s canned green beans with canned onions, and you put it all in the oven.
Yeah, yep, with those jerky onions on top. In my class, we make a wild mushroom gravy, blanch real green beans. And then in Asian markets, you can get what are called fried shallots, which are thinly sliced shallots that you put on top. So it makes it a little fancier. Moo at Moodoo Noodles used to put those shallots in salads, and they were so yummy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I think, you know, we were talking when I was talking to my friends about what we're going to make. If you do an interesting and unusual dishes, just check with your guests, because sometimes people really want turkey and some traditional stuff. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she was saying last year she went to Thanksgiving dinner, and they had salmon and all this non-off-topic dishes. And she kind of felt like she didn't go to a Thanksgiving dinner, you know. So, I mean, some people say, let's do prime rib or something. That's fine, but I think you got to have turkey. You got to have leftovers.
Well, and there are people who are vegetarians and vegans,
yeah.
and there are many kind of squash-based alternatives.
Oh, yeah. I've seen stuffed acorn squash that looks delicious.
Yeah.
You know, and cranberry relishes are so interesting. And yeah, there's a lot you can do out there. And luckily, I think, like you mentioned, the gluten-free thing. There's gluten-free bread, and that's more interesting than it used to be. And
now,
think about it.
How do you make your cranberry sauce?
Well, I was going to mention, Google Mama Sandberg's cranberry relish.
Okay.
It is so delicious. It is fresh cranberries, onion, sour cream, and horseradish.
Good heavens.
You put it
My brain is exploding.
You put it in a food processor. First, you crush up the cranberries and sugar. So it's sweet and a little bit, sounds terrible. It's so delicious.
It sounds really awful.
And it's the color of Pepto-Bismol.
Oh.
And if you Google it, I can't remember. It was actually originated, I don't know if it was Adam Sandberg's mother, but whoever Mama Sandberg is, was on NPR and talked about her family recipe that they always serve this at Thanksgiving. And it became one of those recipes that exploded across the country.
Now, for those who are not willing to be that daring
yeah.
or who don't necessarily want that combination of flavors, what's your
yeah.
traditional, like, cranberry sauce?
Yeah, I think cranberry, you know, with orange zest and stuff, I still get a kick out of people that serve canned cranberry sauce out of the can, and it's still in that shape.
In the shape of a can,
in the shape of the can, and it's on a plate, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, good. So you didn't really have to go too far. But fresh cranberries are so much... you know, have such a nice texture, and they're tart, and you don't have to cook them down too much. Cook them with a little bit of orange juice and maybe a cinnamon stick and a couple of cloves, and just let it be more savory than, because canned cranberry jelly is like sweet.
Right.
And we want that tartness to the, Plus, then you got to have that for your turkey sandwich with mayonnaise and cranberry relish. Oh, my God. And white bread. And then you go into a coma when you go to sleep that night, you know.
Let's say you don't want to go into a coma per se.
Yeah, I don't.
You want to have something like a salad or something that kind of mitigates the heaviness of the traditional meal.
I agree. I mean, you could do like a spinach salad with dried craisins or cranberries in it. Maybe some goat's cheese, a simple dressing. It would look festive. It would be green and red and white. I think that's, you know, I remember going to Thanksgiving dinners where they serve pumpkin soup first, which you're pretty much done by then. And then you have the whole meal. So I think a salad's a great idea. It gives you a little roughage. Maybe even a takeoff on the green beans with like a wild mushroom and green bean salad. You know, like chilled blanched green beans and maybe some sauteed mushrooms or something.
It's funny that for years, Stacy Pearl, who's no longer living in Santa Fe, she's a wonderful chef.
Oh, yeah,
here
I know
town.
Her. Yeah, yeah.
She would come on the show and say, "You can't have salad. You can't. It's Thanksgiving.
It's un-American.
It's forbidden.
It's un-American." Yeah. Yeah, she's in New York, I think. Yeah.
So, okay. So we have, and there's a million ways to make mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes. I mean, you can just do them straight. Just mash your potatoes and have lots of butter and maybe a few herbs.
Yeah. If you've ever heard of a potato ricer, it looks like a big garlic press.
Yes.
But that is the best way to make mashed potatoes. When you mash them, you develop the starch, and so they get mush, they get gooey. I always tell people, we used to use an electric mixer to do our mashed potatoes in Rochester, where I grew up. You could put up wallpaper with this stuff. So the less you mash your potatoes, and with a ricer, it's really called a potato ricer, it leaves them fluffy, and then very gently fold in your milk and your butter or cream.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And leave them light. Somebody said, we put cream cheese and something in there, and I think it's going to make them too rich. You know? I went to Dinner for Two last night. Have you been there lately? It's such a cute restaurant. And they do Chateaubriand for two, which is, I'm writing a story about Valentine's Day. And they have the most delicious caramelized onion mashed potatoes.
Caramelized onions are proof of the existence of God.
Yeah. And on anything. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Anything.
And I thought that
Except
I've never
ice
had.
Cream.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I've never had caramelized onion mashed potatoes, and they were so yummy.
And similar with sweet potatoes, they don't get so starchy.
Yeah.
You can just bake them and
you can
put
do
butter
a little,
on them.
Yeah.
You can do stuff with molasses and maple
syrup or a little bit of brown sugar. Did you ever have them with marshmallows when you were, oh my God.
No.
That's what I grew up with, like baked sweet potatoes with marshmallows melted up.
Yeah, my mom was from Germany.
Yeah, so you were lucky. Yeah, yeah. Or worse, marshmallow fluff. But I think we overdo the sugar side of Thanksgiving, you know, like things get too sweet. And I'm not a big pumpkin pie fan. So I also don't want anything as an appetizer that tastes like pumpkin pie, you know, like pumpkin soup or, you know, pumpkin quiche. Or,
right.
You know, like, yeah, save that for the dessert, you know.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, if you have just regular mashed sweet potatoes or baked sweet potatoes without sugar, you're going to get to your pumpkin pies or your pecan pies or your apple pies anyway.
Right. Yeah. And as you said, sweet potatoes are so sweet anyway. They're so yummy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You can cut them in half and even bake them in the skin and then scoop them out in there.
Yep. Do that normally.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else about Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, planning, I think, is important. And I do think try to get as much done a couple of days in advance, even if you freeze the stuff. You know, things freeze really well now. Your casseroles and stuff, your stuffing could be done, you know. Couple days in the fridge covered is fine too. Then you're kind of not in a panic mode where you're trying to get everything done that morning and you're trying to set the table and you're thinking, oh my God, my Aunt Tilly's coming and she's a nightmare. And you know, I think you should be able to enjoy your own Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, you know, another way, like the way I used to do it was I would think of, you know, getting, first of all, the main thing is having all your ingredients.
Yes.
So you're not in some kind of panic and trying to find an open store and all that kind of stuff. Of course, everything's open these days. But
yeah, well, in the old days, it wasn't.
Everything was closed on Thanksgiving.
You were out of luck. You were S out of luck, as we would say.
But you don't want to go anyway. So you have you make sure you got all your ingredients, and then you get up and you get your turkey in the oven. And after that, that's when I start like making the pie crust.
Yeah.
And just cutting the apples. And then if people come over and they say, what can I do? You say, here, cut some apples.
And think about that. Yeah.
And I'm going to give away what was for years my secret recipe. I think I've given it away every year. But and that is soak the apples. But you cut up the apples first before you make the pie crust.
Uh-huh.
And you soak them in a little bit of rum and brandy.
Ooh.
And then you pour that off. And then you make a regular plain apple pie.
Oh,
and
that sounds delicious.
It's very delicious.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And, you know, I also think nowadays there are some prepared foods that I think are absolutely fine. So you don't have to feel like you've got them. In the old days, your mother made every single dish that you had. The pies, the rolls, everything. Now I think you can, you know, take advantage of the great bakeries we have. Have you been to Dolina?
No.
Over where Clawfuta used to be.
Right.
On the way, you know, along there by...
On Guadalupe. North Guadalupe.
Ana Maria was the original baker out at Cafe Fina. And she opened her own bakery, I think in July. But she's from Slovakia. And she's an amazing baker. So for Thanksgiving next week...
This week,
2 days. I better call her. I'm going to order my pies from her, get my pies from her.
So that's another thing. Let's say you're invited to somebody's house and you want to bring something.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got time to make something, or maybe you pick up a beautiful pie.
Yeah, I think that's a cool idea. Find out what the people are already going to have, but maybe bring, a lot of bakeries do really creative, unusual pies that even if they had pumpkin and pecan and apple already there, get something a little fancy, you know. Do you remember Rob DeWalt, our dear friend?
Whom we miss.
We miss so much.
I hope you're in heaven, Rob.
I'm sure he is. Well, he's having fun wherever he is. But he, I think, had a green chili apple pie recipe that he used to share.
That's right.
And Rocky Durham.
Another great chef.
Another
in town.
Great chef. Funny, fabulous guy. We did an event at La Fonda a couple weeks ago. And, it was for Cooking with Kids. And Rocky made Rob's green chili apple pie for dessert. And it's delicious, you know. Yeah, what a great guy, all around great guy. And I was reminding you that I came on the show when Rob was sitting in for you, and he was so funny.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we've got wonderful chefs in town and wonderful chefs who've left us either to move away or who've passed away, like Rob DeWalt.
Yeah.
And, you know, Thanksgiving's a good time to remember everybody, present, past, who you're thankful to be with.
Yeah. What do you think about going out for Thanksgiving?
I've never done it.
Yeah, I mean...
People do it, though.
People do it.
I mean, there are great restaurants in town who have menus.
Yeah, and I've been looking at some of the restaurant menus, and they're like, wow, that's, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think people that are visiting, we have so many tourists here. And if they're in a hotel, it's going to be hard to cook, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think... one thing, a couple of restaurants do this. The thing I would miss about eating in a restaurant for Thanksgiving is leftovers. But some of the restaurants, I think, pack up extra turkey for you.
Nice.
And some of the restaurants will do the turkey or will do the sides. And if it's a good restaurant, you know, the turkey's going to be pretty exciting. So maybe that's something you'd leave up to somebody else.
Well, and if you're going to go to a nice Santa Fe, New Mexico restaurant, let yourself be pampered.
Yeah.
Just do it up and don't. And that's the beautiful thing about that. You don't have to worry about anything.
You just go and
you sleep till 11:30.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? I know. I'm going to be.
We can all fantasize.
I know. I'm going to be helping my friends cook, but we're like. I think part of the joy of Thanksgiving and the celebration of it is if people help cook, that's fun. I think when I grew up, we had four kids. But I think my dad got up early, like you said, put the turkey in. And then my parents did all the cooking, but it was a lot of us staying out of the kitchen, and it seemed very stressful to me. It didn't seem like a... But now people have great kitchens, and like you said, invite your friends to come over early.
And it's a time to... It's a real hanging out opportunity. Yeah. Like, if you've got some... You know, I've got girlfriends I haven't seen for a while, and we get to hang out while things are cooking. And I think cooking, as, you know, to get it done is stressful, and people, especially people with kids, have to do it every single day, and it can become stressful. But cooking for the fun of it and for the celebration of it.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
And at a leisurely pace is a beautiful thing.
Just be careful the friends don't start drinking wine too early, because then all of a sudden.
Yes.
I've been to a party where the meal was greatly delayed because the turkey was not done, and I don't know what the problem was, but they probably didn't get it in a timely fashion. And oh my God, you get there hungry and you're, you know, drinking wine waiting for...
On an empty stomach.
On an empty stomach. And I think that's a good, you know, think about, you know, people might arrive hungry, you know, do have something, but even like, you know, people used to make rolls and all that stuff. You can bring some of that stuff in.
Oh, that's right, rolls.
Yeah, think of rolls. And I'm not a big pie maker. I think you sound like you are, which is cool.
It was actually one of the few things that I learned in junior high school, as it used to be called, was making a pie crust, and I enjoy that very much. And I have since developed a kind of a oversensitivity to wheat, and so now I'm making gluten-free stuff. And I actually haven't tried the gluten-free pie crust, but I might try that this year.
Yeah, I think it probably should work. I think that, is it called Cup for Cup?
Yeah.
I think that's the most successful gluten-free...
That's a good flour.
Flour.
I don't
know
what's in
it. Some of the other
ones,
yeah. Some of the other ones were really strong flavored, I thought, you know.
Before we go, I want to make sure we talk about a very important category called what not to do.
Ooh.
And what not to do, one of the things on the top of that list I hear, I've never tried it, is the deep-fried turkey.
Go on YouTube, put in deep fried turkey, and you will see 100 videos of people blowing up the fryer, burning down their back portal, melting all the asphalt around the turkey fryer and stuff. People swear by them. You know, I've never tasted one. It is dangerous. It takes a lot of oil, too. And if you go to Walmart or any of the big stores, they have these huge pots with the $35 container of peanut oil. And you have to do it way away from the house and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, where are you going to do it? I mean, you can't even...
It takes like an hour. Yeah.
You can't even go to the big box parking lot because those places are open because Black Friday is now Thursday.
I know, really. But I think it's just fun. Watch the video and then you'll be cured of that desire to try it, you know.
Anything else not to do on Thanksgiving?
Make sure your turkey's thawed. And, you know, in the old days, it was the temptation is the frozen turkeys are 19 cents a pound and the thawed ones are $1.30, you know.
Right.
So the temptation is to get, or get it 3 days in advance. Think about that. Another thing that people said, we're going to roast a goose. And I've done goose cooking classes at Las Cosas. A huge $45 goose, you get enough meat for six people. So they're very lean. They're very fatty, which you have to render some of the fat.
They're lean and fatty at the same time.
Well, the meat is very tight to the carcass. I think the fat's more on the outside. So the fat renders off. And then you have the sinewy meat that doesn't serve a lot of people. I think I had 12 people in a goose class once, and everybody got like this tiny little stringy. The good thing is you render that goose fat, and you've got 6 cups of goose fat, you know.
Which you can use for the
next
turkey.
Which you can use for the next turkey. But you're going to think, shoot, I wish I ordered a turkey. Have you had Joseph at Joseph's of Santa Fe's duck fat French fries?
Why, no.
He fries his fries, French fries, in duck fat, and you get this much more exciting flavor. So I think I borrowed duck fat from him once to glaze my turkey. It was funny.
So no deep fryer, no goose.
Don't invite people you don't like.
And probably no ice cream. Do you eat ice cream on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah. I do like a little whipped cream on my pecan pie. There you go. I'm all about pecan pie. If I never see pumpkin pie ever again, I'm good to go. But actually, it's funny. My friends requested for my goddaughter's going to be here that my goddaughter only eats chocolate cream pie. So we're going to also have chocolate cream pie, which will be fun. Be cute.
Johnny V, thank you so much for being with
us. I'm so happy that you're back, and I'd love that I got to be one of your early guests.
Yes.
And have a little lighter topic, as you said.
Yes, it's very important to have a nice week, if possible. And, oh, I know what else not to do. Don't talk politics.
Oh, my God, yes. And especially this year for me.
Yeah, especially on Thanksgiving, because somebody's going to have an uncle there or somebody who's completely opposed to what you believe, and then you're really going to have a digestive situation.
Yeah, and that will make your turkey really hard to digest.
Exactly. Johnny V and everybody listening today, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Johnny V is a chef, cookbook author, teacher, dining editor for the Santa Fe, and you can check out his work. And we'll be back next week. We're not going to actually have a show on Thanksgiving. On Tuesday, we're going to be talking to an author named David Daly about his book, Rat Fucked, the true story behind the plan to steal America's democracy. It's all about redistricting. It sounds nerdy, but it's actually incredibly fascinating and it's very important. So we'll see you next Tuesday. And before we go, I do want to reiterate what we talked about at the beginning of the show, which is that we want to hear your stories of what Christmas in New Mexico means to you, what traditions you carry on, what you've left behind, what you miss, what you don't miss. You can give a call and leave a message, 505-395-6398. Leave a voicemail and tell us your stories. And if you prefer, you can also send an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Okay, that's the end of our Thanksgiving show, and usually, well, when we're on radio, this would be the time when we play Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie. So, ladies and gentlemen, go to your YouTube or your iTunes or whatever right now and blast your speakers, Arlo Guthrie, Alice's Restaurant. This is a podcast, and so we can't play copyrighted music, but go for it, and ladies and gentlemen, a very happy Thanksgiving to you. Ciao.
Ciao.
You've been listening to The Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. We'd love to hear your feedback, so please email us at feedback@radiocafe.org. Many thanks to the fabulous Dotfoil Computer Services of Santa Fe, providing top-notch computer service, sales, and more on the web at dotfoil.com. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our Northern New Mexico community, and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes and much more content of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.